Hi, Wendy.
Oh, hi, Claire.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What are you doing?
I'm just introducing the third episode of our podcast.
You are?
Yeah.
We're back in the saddle again. Actually, we're back inside the box.
We are inside the box.
Because this is
Inside the Box. Brought to you by Ham Radio with
Wendy
and Claire.
And here we are.
Episode 3, everybody.
Yeah, we are on a roll, and we just have to thank all of our listeners. This podcast is just crushing it.
Yep. We didn't know where this would lead, but we definitely didn't think that it would lead to the kind of like fame and fortune that we're experiencing.
I saw the stats. There's either 3 or 4 people have listened to this podcast.
Really? Whole people or is that an average? Whole people. Interesting.
Are you talking about like WHOLE?
Yeah, like entire people.
Whole people.
Who are the whole people, Wendy? Tell me what you know.
They live underground. That's the mole people.
Right. No. Yeah, not to be confused. Yeah, we just want to take a second to thank all of you, several listeners, for caring about us and tuning in. We're really thrilled that we've not yet gotten any kind of interviews from any YouTube stars and that we still haven't generated any revenue from this. So that means that's success for us, you know?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I want to give a shout out to my brother, who's one of those listeners.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I'm one of those listeners, too, because I downloaded it. So that leaves one person who listened out of the 3.
Yeah.
Possibly 4 people who listened.
Who know about it. Yeah.
Who downloaded it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's great.
Thank you, Mr. Wendy. Does he have his own name? Your brother?
My brother? Yes, he has a name.
What is it?
His name is Tim.
Aw, Tim. Thanks, Tim.
Timmy.
You're a real great brother.
He is. He's my favorite brother.
Aw. Yeah. Is he your only brother?
Yeah.
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 That's how that joke works.
Yep.
Yeah. We're really excited to be back here with you all again. We are inside the box.
Yep.
In this moment.
Helping you to think inside the box. That is the point of this whole podcast.
Yeah, we want to tell you what we know about life so that you can also know it.
Mm-hmm. And benefit from it,
mm-hmm.
from our wisdom.
Yeah. And we really, you know, there's a lot of chatter out there in various circles about thinking and living outside the box. And I just want to debunk that myth for a moment because inside the box, I found it to be quite cozy. You know?
I think it's where it's at, too. I think this outside-the-box myth is a myth.
Mm, interesting assessment there.
I think it's kind of wishful thinking.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, regardless of whatever it might afford you to think outside the box, I have to say being inside the box is very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a known quantity.
Yep.
It's good sound quality because your voice is sort of bouncing off all sides of the box when you're inside of it. You can easily pretend like you're in a fort when you're inside the box, and that's fun.
Yep. And then there's the whole thinking part.
Right. Which is what we're after here.
Yep. So the idea is being confined to a space, the space of your mind.
Mm. Wow.
It's powerful.
It is powerful.
Yeah. So you don't want to break beyond that. You want to stay in the comfort of what you know. And why mess with that?
Yeah, we think, you know, there's a lot of opportunities and resources out there around expanding your consciousness and beyond your mind.
We say, fuck that.
We say, fuck that. We say, hey, your mind, it might be making you crazy, and it might be stressing you out, and it might be telling you things you should do and should be instead of exactly who you are. But there's probably some good ideas in there.
Be a typical thinker.
Exactly. That's what we want for you, Tim. Mm-hmm. So on that note, we have a really wonderful topic today that is steeped in a lot of personal experience. Do you want to introduce the topic, Wendy?
I'd love to. Today's topic is how to fuck up your life.
Zing! feel like it should, there should be a little zing after that.
You just did it.
Zing. Yeah. How to fuck up your life. We want you to be very successful in everything you do.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that we want you to be successful at.
We've got quite a good amount of experience in this realm. We're going to share some of that with you, some of our wisdom and advice. We're also going to take a listener call with a question about what to do in a specific scenario. So we're really excited about that.
So yeah, we're going to teach you how to fuck up your life. So if your life is going really smoothly, we're going to give you some great ideas to kind of spearhead some just monumental, epic, disastrous life circumstances.
Yeah. I think especially if you feel like you're sort of hitting the marks along the way, the things you see reflected to you in the media, for example, about the way your life should look, and if you feel like you just are a commercial for the American dream, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Great. Well, you just...
I just did, actually.
Yeah. Just seltzer water, really.
With not even a drop of bourbon.
Yeah. It's just brown-colored seltzer water.
Mm-hmm. Without the seltzer water.
Hold the seltzer water, please.
Yep. Well, that's the first thing you do to fuck up your life. Is you don't put bourbon in seltzer water.
Right.
You drink it straight.
You hold the seltzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, always. So we decided to broach this subject of how to fuck up your life. We might play a little game.
I think it's a great idea.
I think gambling is a pretty good way to fuck up your life, and that's how we're going to start.
We're going to gamble?
We're going to kind of bet. We're going to wager on the truth, right?
All right. So this game that we're going to play is a game that you might be familiar with. We're calling it Three Truths and a Lie. So I'm going to list four things, and then Claire you have to guess which one is a lie. So these are four ways in which I have fucked up my life.
Okay.
But one is a lie.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And these are things I've never heard before. So we'll see how well also we know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exciting.
All right, Claire. So here are four things that happened in my life. Maybe. Definitely three of them happened. Okay. One did not happen. So you have to guess which of the four did not happen.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Number one. I got a tattoo of Willie Nelson on my ass to make my dying mother laugh.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I really hope that's not a lie.
Number two, while on the air, I asked kids watching Sesame Street to wake up their parents so that they could call in and donate to PBS.
Wow. That's pretty bad. Okay.
Number three. I agreed to marry an Iranian man for $10,000.
Wow.
Number four, I bought a vintage Mustang from a guy who wouldn't let me test drive it because he was concerned I'd realize that it was a sham.
A lemon. Wow. Okay. So my options again are ass tattoo.
Willie Nelson. And Claire has never seen my ass.
It's true. Yeah.
So.
One of my great regrets. PBS. Mm-hmm. Waking up parents. Iranian man? $10,000
yep.
deal?
Yep, that's one of them.
Or Mustang that you purchased.
Mm-hmm.
That you never test drove.
Correct.
So, I don't know. I'm thinking a few different things here. The first thing I'm thinking is, like, you're really good at owning super cool vehicles, and you're also really good at making sure you're not getting screwed. So I feel like the Mustang could be the lie. But I also know that you never went to Iran, but maybe it was like a green card situation. So I feel like that could be a lie, but it could be a truth. The PBS situation feels like something you would never do. And the ass tattoo, I feel like, is something that if I were to just knock you out really quick, I could just tell if it was true or not, and then I'd be able to definitively rule that out or rule it in as the lie.
All great points, Claire.
I'm going to go with Willie Nelson. Hold your feet,
hold your feet. That's true.
I won?
Yep, it's true that it's a lie.
Yay! Awesome. Wait, so this means that all of the other ones actually happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. Welcome to my life.
When you look back on those three instances, which one makes you the most proud?
Yeah. I'd say almost marrying an Iranian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one really just hits home.
Can you give our listeners just a little bit more of a, and me, a little bit more of a background about what was going on there? How old were you?
I was, 31?
Okay.
32?
Just 5 years 32. Younger than me? 4 years younger than me?
Yeah, at the time. I was actually, had just ended my least favorite marriage.
Oh, okay. So you were single?
Almost. The divorce hadn't happened yet. And my good friend, her husband, an Iranian man, made me a proposal, and I accepted it because $10,000. He wanted me to marry his brother to keep him in the country.
Okay.
And this was back before 9/11. So, yeah, I almost married him. I didn't actually marry him. I bailed because my brain came back online.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In just enough time?
Just enough time.
So you said yes?
I said yes.
And how long did you say yes for?
It was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
Wow, that's a long time to be gearing up to marry some dude you don't know.
I know.
Did you ever hang out with him?
Yeah, a couple of times. He helped me move when I was leaving the first husband guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came over to get to know me because we had to get to know each other for immigration.
Yeah.
It was interesting because he wanted to take me on a trip to the Grand Canyon. Special little trip. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't interested. And he said, no, we should do this trip. He was very insistent about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of creeped me out.
So then
it didn't kind of creep me out. It really creeped me out.
Yeah.
So $10,000, get married to this Iranian guy. $10,000. And I had my eye on a vintage Mustang at the time. Different one than the other one I was referring to.
Okay.
The first one that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, well,
it'd be super sweet if you could buy that Mustang.
Yeah, because I always wanted one ever since I was a little kid. My mom had a 64 and a half Mustang. She was such a badass in her car and it left quite an impression on me. And I really always wanted one. And so here was my opportunity.
Yeah.
And the Iranian guy did not want me to get it. He told me he'd buy me a Toyota. You know, practical car.
That's got to hurt.
And I said, no, I think I'll get a Mustang instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that marriage was off to a good start.
Yeah, it seemed like
marriage number two, but it never happened.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, huh?
That's amazing. I'm glad that you got out of that, although I'm sure it was not easy to get out of.
No, they were not happy.
They were not happy with
nope.
you.
Nope.
Yeah.
There's more I could go into about how messy it got financially, but I won't bore you guys with all of that. It just know that it was not an easy extraction from that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And now, so just, I'm curious, so the Mustang is like a theme,
mm-hmm.
like you wanting the vintage Mustang.
I did get it. I ended up getting that one that I wanted. I ended up getting a loan, which is a pretty reasonable way to get a car.
Yeah.
You get a loan as opposed to marrying an Iranian person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, $10,000, but one comes with
mm-hmm.
just the commitment to pay it back.
Yeah, and the other one is marriage.
Lifelong, yeah, matrimony.
So tell me a little bit more about the Mustang situation, because that seems to be a theme here, right? You are very into vintage Mustangs, and that first one.
I got the first one. It was a 67.
Yeah?
And then it was stolen.
Oh, no. How soon after?
I had it for 2 years. I had dumped money into it to make a reliable daily driver, and then it was stolen.
Wow.
And they never recovered it. I know it was a really sad day. Super sad day. Such a badass car.
Yeah.
Loved my car.
So sad that it sort of positioned you to want vintage Mustang.
After it was stolen, I got a really generous check from, believe it or not, from my insurance company because I was able to demonstrate that I had put all this money into it. So they gave me a check for $6,000, which was double what I paid for it. And I happened to find another Mustang.
Oh, wow.
For guess how much?
$6,000.
Exactly.
It's like it was meant to be.
It was meant to be. Kismet. So I thought, yeah. This one was considered a conversion Mustang. So it had the old chassis. It was a 66 coupe. And it had a newer motor in it. So it was a 90s era Mustang motor. and transmissions. So it was like an old chassis, new car. And so I was pretty psyched about it. But I broke a rule.
What was that?
I didn't take the car to my mechanic to get checked before I bought it.
Yeah.
And so I went to go check this car out, not before my boss told me that he knew the guy who was selling it.
What?
He said, "Wendy, do not buy that car from this guy because he's a liar." And I thought that the universe was on my side and it would all work out. So I went there to test drive it and he wouldn't let me drive it because I guess I would soon find out that it was a lemon. So he drove it around and I was so enamored with it. I already had my mind made up, basically.
Yeah.
I might as well have just handed him the check right then and let him keep the car because I had it for, I think, 48 hours. And then there was a puddle of coolant in front of it when I went out the next day. Yeah. And then I drove it to my mechanic and he took one look at it and he said, "Wendy, what did you do?"
Oh, that hurts.
I know. It was sad.
That really hurts.
Yep. I was out $6,000 and a car.
When you said the universe was on your side, was that really because, was it so wonderful that the amount of the insurance check and the cost of the car matched up so perfectly
It was pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like kismet.
And you were still grieving for stolen car.
Yeah. And I was also going through this kind of phase. I had this magical thinking going on where I thought if I believed it, it would come true.
Yeah. That's why.
A maroon.
That's why you need to think inside the box a little bit more.
Exactly. If I had done that.
Yeah.
Hindsight.
Yeah, you probably would have just gone back to the dealership and bought that Toyota that the Iranian guy wanted you to have.
No. I wouldn't have done that.
No?
No.
That would be the reasonable thing to have done.
I don't know if I'll ever get the whole buying a vintage vehicle. I don't know if I'll ever figure that one out.
You might not shake that.
No.
But not the smartest life choice is basically what I'm hearing you say.
Nope. That was a good one, though.
That was
really stupid. It was really stupid.
Yeah.
Boneheaded move. Yeah, so there was that one.
Yes, and then tell me about the PBS story. What, when and how and where would this ever have taken place?
Well, I worked for PBS.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, it was when you said on the air that I got a little intimidated because this is news to me and we are currently on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fucking amateur, so...
Well,
you better fess up.
Amateur is my middle name, really. Wendy Amateur Hallie.
That's a weird
middle name, but it's true. Actually, it should be Sucker.
Sucker. If it was amateur, then your initials would be Wah.
Wah. So I worked for a PBS affiliate in Tucson when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
The University of Arizona. And worked with a great group of people. I was on the crew. I learned camera and audio and making graphics and then eventually worked my way up to directing. And I also wanted to explore being on-air talent. So I asked if I could do a pledge drive because, you know.
That's how you start off.
I'm a ham.
Yeah. Ham radio.
Exactly. That's why this is called ham radio.
Yeah. It's interesting that you wanted to go right into like fundraising instead of something
It was an opportunity.
Luxurious.
Well, I did some pieces too because I worked for a news magazine, so
okay.
I did some journalistic pieces as well.
This is Wendy Hallie with this news story. Was it like that?
No, it wasn't like that
at all.
That was good. There was none of the. The da-doo-da-doos.
There's always that.
No.
No, that's how you know you're listening to the news.
If it's the 1940s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good point.
So.
I'm an old soul.
You are.
Okay. So you decided you want to do this pledge drive.
Yeah. I wanted to give it a try. So I am on with somebody who's much more experienced than me. We're doing a Saturday morning shift during the Sesame Street time. You remember, maybe you didn't. Did you ever watch... Brady Bunch when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Sydney Brady had the tally light syndrome when she went on the TV? She was on some game show thing or something. And when the tally light came on the camera, she froze.
Uh-huh.
That's me. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm terrible on air. I'm terrible on camera.
What happens? You just, like deer in headlights situation?
Oh, I just don't know what the fuck to say.
Yeah.
So I was babbling on. I don't remember. So I'm on camera and we're pitching it back and forth, and I'm talking to these little kids, and I thought, oh, I need to ask these kids to wake their parents up.
Brilliant move.
So that they could call in and donate to PBS. And so I did that. And the moment I said it, I could hear through the headphones of all the camera people on the floor, no! The producer upstairs was yelling for me to stop saying that.
Wow.
But it was too late. I already had said it. And
it was live.
Oh, yeah, we were live. If it hadn't been, I think at that time, the most lucrative Saturday morning pledge drive they ever had, I probably would have been in much bigger trouble.
So it worked.
It worked, actually, yeah. One complaint came in. A mom complained because she worked the night shift and her kid woke her up.
And the kid admitted that you told him, him to wake her up.
So she complained that she could have used the sleep, but
yeah. Only, but she did she give?
Yeah. See? That's why she called in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
Wow.
It had a happy ending.
Yeah, for sure. But your boss is not happy with you.
Yeah. I was thinking, as I was saying, like, why has no one ever done this before?
It's a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So the other thing I was asking people, because I heard myself saying the word cool a lot. Mm. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And so I finally said, how about if you donate a dollar for every time I say cool?
That's awesome. Did anybody actually do it?
I don't know. It just seemed like some stupid shit to say while I was had this microphone.
That's kind of how pledge drives work. You have to just kind of keep talking, right?
Yeah.
I always feel so bad for the public radio pledge drive people because they just, you can tell that they've just been talking incessantly and they have to still feign enthusiasm even after like day five.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only time I ever did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's never fundraise for our podcast.
I think that's a great idea.
Let's just not do it. You know, what we could do would be fun. It would be like a car wash on air or like a podcast bake sale.
That's a great idea.
Where we sell each other baked goods and then talk about them and then people can hear us eating them.
We could do that. Or we could do a pledge drive.
Yeah. But we just said we would never want.
Ours would be different. We could do a puppet show.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
We could do like a silent film, like a miming. And then every time the mime makes you smile, you could give money.
That's obscure.
Yeah. It's also hard to see because it's the radio.
Yeah. I'm with you. So those are my stories of whoa.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are some royal fuck ups.
Those are some pretty good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just really love knowing these things about you because it feels like there was like an air of confidence that you had in each one of those scenarios that you were just like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this thing that could potentially like ruin my life. And I'm going to do it with a lot of confidence anyway and still fuck it up. And here you are to tell the tale. It's almost like, okay.
I think that's a really nice way of you to say that I'm impulsive.
Yeah, a little headstrong, mm-hmm. I was going to say, you know?
No, I mean, because that is the common thread with all those scenarios is impulsivity.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wish I did get that tattoo now, though.
I mean,
I thought of it.
It probably would have made her so happy.
She would have laughed her ass off.
Yeah. Ha! No get point. It?
Yeah.
You could never laugh your ass off, though, because it's going to be permanently tattooed. Yeah, I liked that idea a lot. I thought that may be true just because you would do that because you're kind of impulsive in the best way.
Okay.
Well, Wendy, that was fun. Are you ready for your turn to play Three Truths and a Lie?
Lay it on me.
Okay. So we're going to work with some current events here. These are all things that have happened in the past month, if you can believe it.
Okay.
And they all have to do with fucking up my car in some way. Okay?
Okay.
So option number one, getting my first ever speed violation.
Okay.
Expensive. First speeding ticket at the age of 35. Number two, buying brand new tires and then subsequently driving into a curb, completely busting two of the tires and bending two rims.
All right.
Third option, almost hitting a pedestrian, but then realizing that I was not stopping and then, you know, holding out their hand so that I could like see them. So it was like very close, you know, you can imagine that kind of situation. And number four, backing my car into a motorcycle in a parking lot and knocking it over.
seriously?
Yeah.
The three of those things are for real.
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, yeah, but they're all, you know, all within the same month. So it's like, it was like a lot of car stuff happening, you know?
So this was rough, huh?
This was like maybe it was one of the rougher months of my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
so
a big deal.
I have to guess which one of those four things is a lie.
Yeah. So tires, speeding ticket, pedestrian, almost, and knocking over a motorcycle.
All right, I'll guess that knocking over a motorcycle didn't happen, because that's the most dramatic of the four.
Is it really? More than the tires? I mean, brand new tires? Do you know what it's like to buy brand new tires?
I do know what that's like.
And then to break
two of
them? I
mean, granted, it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah.
And it's expensive.
Yeah. No, I really did knock over the motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah, and I had to talk to the guy. I had to go talk to the guy whose motorcycle I knocked over, and he wasn't happy.
Well, of course not.
No.
So how did that all happen?
Well, it was a rough day for me, and I decided to treat myself to a creamy. For those of you not in Vermont, a creamy is a soft-serve ice cream cone. And
that is creamy.
It's also creamy. And I went to the creamy stand, and I just needed to, like, treat myself. You know, I had a pretty tough day, but I didn't know it was going to get tougher. I get the creamy. I get in the car. I'm kind of thinking, like, I should just eat my creamy here and enjoy it, look at the nice river. And then another thought came in that was like, no, you should really get back to the office and get to work. So I start driving away with the creamy in one hand and my other hand on the steering wheel. And I didn't see anything behind me. I looked in my mirrors. There was nothing behind me. Start backing up. It turns out there was something behind me.
A motorcycle.
It was a very fancy motorcycle. And I just kind of like just knocked into it enough to just kind of tip it over. Then I had to wade into the ocean of people eating ice cream cones. It was really just like 10 people, but it feels like an ocean when you're looking for somebody whose motorcycle you fucked up. And it was this retired lawyer and his girlfriend's son eating
Perfect.
Ice cream together.
Perfect.
Yeah. A real nice guy. It actually ended up being okay. We called my insurance company. He understood what had happened. The insurance paid for the damage, and I drove away.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was tough.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me about which one is the lie then?
Well, you have to guess.
Is it the traffic ticket?
Nope. That really happened too. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do tell. This sounds just...
I'm driving down the street, and in these Vermont roads, it's like 50 miles an hour. Until it's not, until you hit the town center, and then it all of a sudden drops to 35.
Yep.
And this happens many times as you're driving throughout a road, one route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go through these little town centers, and the speed limit drops. And that happened. That very thing happened when I drove through this little town center, and the sheriff was sitting there waiting to pull people over who didn't realize they needed to slow down, and I was one of those people. And so he pulled me over, and he told me that I was speeding, and I was just kind of frustrated and upset about it. And it's the first time I've ever gotten a speeding violation. So I was clawing through my glove box looking for my registration and my insurance. And it was actually kind of hard to find because I've never really had to use them before. So the sheriff's waiting there. We're kind of having small talk. It was actually a pretty pleasant conversation. And eventually I did find that I had my registration and my up-to-date insurance, which I was a little worried about because I keep these things up to date, but I've never had to prove it to anybody. And then he handed me a speeding ticket. It was a little bit more money than I would have liked to have spent. But at the end of the day, I had kind of reorganized my glove box, which felt kind of good. And so I drove off and had to pay that bill. But ultimately, it was the sheriff he was kind of apologetic, which is a little annoying, but also kind of sweet.
He was sorry he pulled you over?
Yeah, he was sorry that he had kind of made my day harder than it needed to be. But we both agreed that it was beneficial to have tidied up my papers.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What a bad day.
Yeah, it was...
That must have been a really bad day. The new tires? Was that the lie?
No, that actually happened.
Really?
Can you believe it?
So then what was the one I'm missing?
The almost hitting the pedestrian.
Oh, you didn't almost hit a pedestrian.
I didn't.
Huh.
Thank God.
All right. So you blew out some tires.
Yeah.
Let's hear about that story.
So I dropped like hundreds of dollars on these new tires.
Hundreds, huh?
Hundreds.
Okay.
Greater than 100, less than 500. So you do the math.
Okay.
It's hundreds.
Yeah.
And I'm driving along for work, and there's this part of this road, you know, these rural roads where we're going around a turn and the shoulder gets really narrow. And I didn't kind of realize it, but it looked like it was sort of like a grassy embankment that I was turning around. It was in the woods, you know. But it turns out there was like a concrete curb around the corner, and I just kind of like bumped into it. And I actually didn't even realize that I had done anything. I thought I'd just like driven over some gravel, but it turns out I knocked into the concrete curb. Both my tires shot out, and I had to sit on the side of the road and wait to get towed.
That must have been just terrible.
Yeah. So I had to sit there, and it's actually kind of nice because I had like a really busy day and there was nothing I could do. So I had to kind of just sit there and, you know, relax a little bit. But I did call the tow truck, and they came pretty quickly. And I brought the car back to where I had bought the tires just earlier that week. They actually did everything they could to get the car fixed within the same day, even though this happened, you know, in the afternoon. So it ended up not even being an inconvenience. I got my car fixed later that day and kind of just drove home.
All right. So these are examples of how you fucked up your life.
Yeah. But they all, you know, they all happened really closely together.
Okay. But this is it. This is...
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know...
You have nothing more than this. These are the examples of the worst experiences, the worst ways in which you fucked up your life.
Yeah, when I really think about it, everything else has gone pretty smoothly.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. But, you know, I think one thing I did realize...
Do you go outside much?
Only with a helmet on. Only with knee pads.
Oh, you might get the prize for the most practical person on the planet.
You know, I appreciate that, but one thing I realized about myself through this exercise and having to come up with the things that I've done to fuck things up.
What'd you realize?
I realized that sometimes when you don't like anybody else to know that you've made mistakes and fucked up your life and instead just tell them that everything's fine, you hold in all of the things so that nobody really sees what's going on. And eventually, you have so much pent-up frustration and aggression and resentment that you take out your aggression on a very expensive motorized vehicle instead of finding other healthier ways of dealing with it.
So are you saying you intentionally hit that guy's motorbike?
I didn't intentionally hit it, but I think something within me...
It was an unconscious expression of yeah, your frustration.
Was wanting to unravel the world around me because that's how I was feeling on the inside.
That's heavy.
Seriously. It's very heavy. Very, very heavy. And, you know, I kind of wish that I had fucked up live on air or, you know, made a really... I mean, it wasn't $6,000, but... It was maybe $600, so we're similar in that way.
I was thinking that, well, maybe it's because I'm older than Claire. Maybe that's why. But a lot of the shit that I did was before I was 36.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm thinking all of those examples were definitely before I was 36.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Wendy, this game has illuminated a couple things about us. One is that you might be a little bit more of a risk taker and I might be a little more risk adverse.
Ah.
But I think either can fuck up your life pretty substantially, you know? Like, I think if you take a lot of risks and they don't pan out, that can be detrimental.
So yeah, how does not taking risks fuck up your life?
I'll tell you.
How does it?
Let me tell you. The big way that not taking risks can fuck up your life is that you never make mistakes and everybody loves you. And this can be a lot of pressure on basically like a living, breathing saint who graces everybody with their presence.
Is that how you see yourself?
No, this is just how other people
see you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Saint Claire.
Then the expectations are really high and you have to keep meeting these high expectations and you keep rising to meet them, but it is a lot of pressure.
So why do you keep doing it?
Oh, I think it's just ego, straight up ego.
You don't want to burst that bubble for people, huh? Because what would happen if you were to do that? What do you think would happen to all the people around you if they saw a different side of you?
I think they'd probably cease to exist.
You mean they would explode?
I think of it more as like
spontaneously combust.
That's like a more violent version. I'm thinking more like turn to dust.
Wow, that's a lot of power. That's a tremendous amount of pressure to not fuck up.
Right. The other thing that I've realized about not taking risks and not making mistakes is that you start to believe that you never do, even though I have in my life made mistakes, but I can't easily recollect the mistakes, you know? And this becomes problematic because I forget about the importance of and the humor of humility and why it is good to connect with other people on a human level.
So are you saying that you envy my fuck-ups?
I'm saying that it's super endearing that you fucked up in the way that you did, and that, yeah, that I wish I had some better stories to tell.
They do make good stories.
Yeah. Are you wishing that you had as clean a speeding record as I...
those are the very minor fuck-ups I've had. I've had speeding tickets.
You've gotten a speeding ticket before?
I've had a couple. Yeah.
That's so badass.
Yeah. That's what makes me a badass. All right.
That and your ass tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My fictitious ass tattoo.
Yeah. Your badass
tattoo. I should get it now, though.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You could get Waylon Jennings and I'll get Willie Nelson.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
We should do it somewhere where we can, like, move our ass in a certain way, and then they'll start singing. That doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah. That was fun. Thanks for playing. I feel like we learned a lot about ourselves and each other.
Yes, it was fun.
Yeah.
I hope it's helpful.
That's what we're here for. You're welcome.
All right, so what are we moving on to now?
Well, I think we actually, we got an email... We got a call in. It was an email form from a listener.
We got an email phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was Google Voice email.
You're making that up.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. It was delivered here through a drone and dropped into our email box outside.
By a unicorn.
Yes. And we had put out on our blog that our upcoming episode would be about how to fuck up your life. And so this person called in with a question.
Yeah.
A real life scenario. And we wanted to take the opportunity to respond to it and give our advice.
All right. So here's the question.
Okay.
Dear Wendy and Claire, I accidentally sent a text to my boss that was supposed to go to my coworker, where I may have referred to my boss as a micromanaging Nazi cunt. What should I do? They didn't leave their name.
Yeah.
That's how bad this is.
That's how bad it is. Yeah, that's rough. Well.
Or is it? Is it that bad?
I mean, it depends on how much they're wanting to fuck up their relationship with their boss. Here's what I would do.
What if their boss is a micromanaging Nazi cunt?
Right. What if they're just being honest?
Yeah.
What if it's a way to give some feedback and to manage up?
Reference episode number 2.
Professionalism and feedback giving.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's pretty much one way to play this, or there's two ways to play this. So one is if you're trying to cover up all of your mistakes and turn every bad way that you fucked up life into some benefit to yourself, as I do, then I think you would lie to your boss and tell them that you were actually talking about your coworker. So just kind of flip it.
Oh, that's clever.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Figure out a way to just flip it, put it on somebody else, and just lie about it. Because I think lying is a really great way of covering up mistakes that you make.
Yeah, so here's another lie you could use, too.
Uh-huh.
Ambien.
Mmm. Just say you were on the...
You were on Ambien.
Yep.
You had taken Ambien, and you don't even realize you had written it.
Wow.
And that you also murdered someone at the same time. So, of the two... The email is the lesser of the two. So really, it turned out better for the boss than it did for the person who was murdered.
That's such a good idea. Here's another way you could fuck it up even worse.
What's that?
You could lie and say that the person you like the least at your office
stole your phone. It was a setup.
Ooh.
Texted the boss, made it look like they were trying to text a colleague, but sent it from your phone in order to undermine you because you know that the boss is considering you for that promotion and you think the coworker is jealous.
That's good. Or the FBI has implanted listening devices in your brain. They were trying to sabotage your job so that they could recruit you to a black ops program where you will be infiltrating a Cub Scout troop that is suspected of sex trafficking.
Wow. Or you could go to Urban Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
What was the phrase that was used?
Micromanaging Nazi cunt.
Create an entry for that phrase and describe it as something that's really positive. And then tell the boss to reference that phrase on that Urban Dictionary entry and try to lie to them by explaining that that's actually something that the kids are saying these days.
It's a big compliment.
As something that's really cool. Or you convince your boss by lying that it is actually a test that the chairman of the board ordered you to implement so that the chairman of the board could see how the boss handles complicated HR matters.
That's clever. That might be a winner right there.
Yeah. And you could even tell your boss that you are currently recording this conversation to see what's going to happen.
Or you could look for a new job.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Yeah, that'd be fucking it up less and probably just handling it responsibly. So if you choose that, that's fine. But we want to encourage you again to consider fucking it up even more.
So we gave you plenty of options to choose from, though.
Yeah, really good. So thanks for bringing that question in. That was really fun.
That was a good question.
I think we solved it.
Yeah, and I think it comes up a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's a universal fuck up.
The mistexting.
Mm-hmm.
Texting the wrong person about the other person. Ooh, about themselves.
Ugly.
It's not pretty. Cool. Did we arrive at the our final segment?
It might be time for the final segment.
All right, so we're really excited about this. We're going to do one last bit of wisdom dropping around how to fuck up your life. And I like to call this a success lightning round.
Ooh.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, that's clever.
Yeah, because what's the first part of success? Sucking. Sucking at life. So what we've done is we've chosen phrases that are typically associated with being successful. And we're just going to throw them at each other. We don't know what we've chosen for each other. We're going to throw them at each other. And then we're going to rapid fire respond with our favorite way to fuck up that thing. So let's give it a shot.
Okay.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay. Ready?
No, not really, but go ahead.
Picket fences.
Bulldozer. Buying a house.
Purchase it during the bubble and get one of those subprime mortgages.
Great idea.
Thanks. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Marriage.
Either marry an Iranian or settle for less. Having a kid.
Blame them for ruining your life. Ready?
Yep.
Investing in the stock market.
Buy high, sell low. Okay. Going to college.
Join a fraternity. Giving back to your community.
Herpes. Retirement.
Get a part-time job. Retirement.
Invest in your brother-in-law's worm farm.
Nice. You ready?
Yep.
Plenty of exercise.
Join the CrossFit cult.
Good one. Having a midlife crisis.
Herpes. Buying a house.
Buy it with your girlfriend who leaves you a few months later for your best friend, and so you have to buy it a second time within the same year. Buying a house.
Go for the one that still has the crime scene tape up. Buying a house.
Check for seismic activity first and buy the one with the highest level of seismic activity.
Cracks in the foundation.
Cracks in the foundation. Buying a house.
Look for asbestos.
Eat all of the paint to make sure there's lead in it.
Yeah, taste the walls. Getting married.
make sure you pick somebody who you can resent for all of your own shortcomings.
Yeah, projection. Mm-hmm. Getting married.
Make sure your mother plans the ceremony. Getting married.
Ignore that sinking feeling in your stomach and do it anyway.
Getting married.
Oh, I don't know how to word it. I was just thinking, because this is how I felt the morning I woke up when I got married the first time. I felt nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. Nothing.
Were you terrified?
Yeah, and I was standing across from the guy as the minister dude was saying his shit, and...
Wow.
I was like, nothing. I got nothing. Exercise.
Use running as a way to deal with all of your internal struggles so that you completely ignore all of your relationships and other obligations and become a marathon runner. Exercise.
Thighmaster. Going to college.
Sleep with the RA. Going to college.
Major in philosophy.
Going to college.
Roofies. All right. So these are some great examples on how to fuck up some universal life experiences.
Otherwise, signals of success, but in our podcast, they are signals of suck-cess.
Yeah.
So it's been great to be with you all. Hopefully you learned a lot and feel a little less bad about your own fuck-ups, or have learned new ways to fuck up.
Or you feel worse after listening to Claire's.
Yeah. I am really great.
Damn.
Yeah. Sorry. The truth is that I have fucked up, but I will never tell anybody about it. That's my secret. That's why I drive my car into a wall repeatedly.
That's sad. Do you want to talk about it?
No.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it.
Right.
You have to let me know how that works for you.
Yeah, I think it's working great so far. Thanks for asking. So we'll be back again next time with another very tantalizing topic.
Always.
Always tantalizing. Always telling you how to do things.
How to do things inside the box.
Right.
All right, before we sign off,
yeah,
let's hear from our sponsor. This episode of Inside the Box is brought to you by regret. That helpful feeling that reminds you that, yes, you did indeed fuck up again. Regret. Keeping humans in touch with their stupidity.
Sign me up for some regret. Never tasted so good.
5, 6, 7, go.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to another edition of Inside the Box.
We'll see you next time.
Hey, and subscribe.
Hit that button that says that.
Thanks.
Bye.